verse 9 to get started on our sixth worldly philosophy, that we need to be weary of, if you will. Luke 18, verse 9, Brother Jim, if you could read that, and then we'll get started.
And he spake this parable unto certain, which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous in the sight of others.
So notice that phrase, trusted in themselves. There are many aspects in this parable. One of them, of course, is self-righteousness. But today we're talking about the phrase that we've all heard many, many times. The Lord helps those who help themselves. Anybody ever heard that before? Is it biblical that the Lord helps those who help themselves? So we're going to look at that today and find out that there are aspects of it if you look at it a certain way, but it's basically a non-biblical philosophy that can get us into trouble if we're not careful. We're not to trust in ourselves because we're not trustworthy and we don't have the ability or the power. So let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom as we look into your precious word. Guide us in your truth. And Lord, may we be aware of these philosophies as they come up. And as the devil tries to sneak them into our own thinking, may we be always going back to your word as our authority and as our guide. So we pray that you'd be pleased with our service today, that we would learn. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at a couple of examples in the Old Testament just to get some context. So let's go to 2 Chronicles 16. We're going to look at two kings from two different perspectives relative to this philosophy, the Lord helps those who help themselves. So 2 Chronicles chapter 16, Howard. Actually, I'll just read bits and pieces on this one, because it's a bit of a long passage. But this is King Asa. Now, as you know, there were many good kings and many bad kings once Israel divided. And King Asa was kind of halfway in between, if you will, back and forth. So notice in verse 1, it says that Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah. So it's another example of Israel and Judah fighting, Jews fighting Jews. And they built Ramah to the intent that he might let none of go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt in Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. And they smote Ijon and Dan, and Abel-Maim, and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, that he left off building of Ramah, and let his work cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah, and the timber thereof, whereof Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. And at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. So just to give you some context, if you look at the previous chapters, they were overwhelmed by an Egyptian army that was much larger than them. And they didn't know what to do, so they just cried unto the Lord, and the Lord intervened and saved them miraculously from this Egyptian army. But then when they get attacked by Israel, instead of going to God and asking for help, they pulled out some money and hired essentially Syria to be mercenaries to try to help them with this battle with Israel. And Hanani, God through Hanani, says, because you chose to trust the king of Syria instead of me, you are going to essentially lose your throne. So notice the verse 9, very good memory verse, by the way. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. And Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. Verse 12. And Asa in the 39th year of his reign was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his father and died in the 140th year of his reign. So he went from trusting God when he was overwhelmed to trusting money and mercenaries. And then God threw this in there as well. In his disease, he sought not to the Lord. In other words, when he found out he was sick, he didn't seek God first, but he went to the physicians. So God removed him from this throne because he chose to not trust God. So, you know, a person could say, well, he was just trying to help Israel. So let's go to chapter 25, just a few chapters later, and look at another king. This is King Amaziah. Not long after in Israel's history. So verse 1, he was 20 and 5 years old and began to reign, and he reigned 20 and 9 years in Jerusalem, and so forth. Verse 3, it came to pass when the kingdom was established to him that he slew his servants that had killed the king his father, but he slew not their children, but it is written in the law of the book of Moses, and so forth. So verse 5, moreover, he gathered Judah together and made them captains over thousands, over hundreds, and according to their fathers. So he set up a hierarchy and an army again. Verse 6, he hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee. For the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it. Be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down. And Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I've given to the army of Israel? And then this last part of the verse, great memory verse, by the way. And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. So it's a similar situation. Amaziah, again, hired people to help him with this battle. Now, God, let's look at it the way from our perspective. God could have just said that you don't have to have a battle, right? He could have just removed the enemy and there had not been a battle. Did God have the power to do that? Well, he did with the Ethiopians for Asa. So he didn't say you're not going to have a battle. But he did say, I will help you through the battle. So we're going to have battles in the Christian life, aren't we? And that's just going to keep happening as we're finding in Exodus. But God wants to help us through the battles. He doesn't want us to say, I'm going to grab this resource and my own strength and fight this battle. I need to fight it with God. And so he says to Amaziah, who had spent all this money now, asking all these essentially mercenaries to help him, he said, no, if you will go without these mercenaries, then I will help you win. And then he's like, well, what about all this money that I just spent? And the prophet said, who cares about money? God's able to give you much more than that 100 talents that you spent on those soldiers. So, verse 10, he separated them, to wit, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim, to go home again. So he hired this mercenary army with 100 talents, and the prophet said, don't use them because God's not with them. So he says, go home. Wherefore their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. And Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth the people and went to the valley of Salt and smote the children of Seir 10,000. Another 10,000 left alive and so forth. But anyway, he won. He won the battle. Without the help of the Israeli mercenaries that he had hired for 100 talents. So, what do we see in these two stories? Yeah, God commands us to work. God commands us to labor. But as his children, we need his help in everything. And if we ever have this attitude that I can do this without God, I can do this on my own, I can use my own resources, I can hire resources, and I can do this, I can accomplish this, then that's just pride, isn't it? And, as we saw there in Luke 18, trusted in themselves. So, whenever we set out in our Christian lives to accomplish anything, if we don't do it seeking God's help and doing it in the strength of the Lord, what we're really saying is we're trusting in ourselves. And God says we're never to do that. Matter of fact, he says, what's Jesus say in John 15:5, the last phrase? Without me, you can do what? Nothing. Let's never forget that. So man says, the Lord helps those who help themselves. Jesus says, no, without him, we can do nothing. Now, there's so many verses in the Old Testament and the New Testament about not trusting in man. But when we read those verses, we often don't insert ourselves into that list of men, right? Say, oh, yes, it's wrong to trust other men. It's also wrong to trust ourselves. Because we're included in that list of men that we could be trusting in. And so let's look at some of those verses together. Let's go to Proverbs 28, verse 26. And so yet another philosophy, our sixth one, which stems again out of humanism. The Lord helps those who help themselves. Yes, he commands us to work, but never does he say, I want you to set out to try to get things done, to try to win battles in your own strength. He never says that. He actually tells us the opposite. Always seek his help. Brent, could you read Proverbs 28:26 for us?
He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered.
And how many times have we heard people say, oh, but it just felt right, or I had a peace about it. So be careful about trusting your heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Amen? Let's look at another one. Jeremiah 17:5. James, could you read that for us? Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. That's a pretty strong word, cursed, isn't it? Cash, could you read Jeremiah 10:23 for us while we're in Jeremiah? I know that the way of man is not, in other words, we don't know the way. Jeremiah, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We just don't have the capacity to direct our own steps, is what God is saying. We've got to have his help. And then Jesus in Matthew 6, let's turn there, tells us the same thing. Mr. Zeus, could you read 6:30-33 for us? We all know verse 33, but let's look at the context.
Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye
So we're not to be seeking the things, we're to be seeking God. And then God will take care of the things. And here we're not talking about covetousness necessarily, we're just talking about what it takes to survive. And Jesus is saying, trust the Lord, right? That's the basic point, is trust me. And then, of course, we'll look at John 15. I quoted it, but let's look at it. John 15, verse 5, Kelvin, if you would read that for us. Amen. Without me, you can do nothing. The Bible says, I can do all things. We could stop there and start a new cult, couldn't we? I can do all things. But that's not the context, is it? What are the next two verses? Through Christ. Amen. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. My strength doesn't come from within. My strength comes from the Lord. So God never says, you're saved now, you're my child, and I'll see you when you get to heaven, go off and do your thing. No, he says, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to live in you. I'm going to be your strength. I'm going to be your guide. I'm going to help you along the way. And so God wants us to rely on him and let him work the Christian life through us. Amen? Let's look at another one in Philippians chapter 2. I believe it's verse 13. I forgot to write down the reference. Brad. It's not 2:13. Yes, it is. 2:13. Could you read that for us? I love that verse. Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He gave us a free will, yes, but he wants to work out the Christian life through us. Amen? He's in us. And he wants to be the power and the strength for us to get things done. It's better to trust in the Lord, the Bible says, than to put confidence in man. And then what's 1 Peter 5:7 say? Casting most of your cares upon him? Is that what it says? Or does it say casting all your care upon him? For he careth for you. All your care. Everything. Psalm 55:22. Cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. And then Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Let's turn there. Most of you know this passage, but it's in this context. Mr. Scott, if you could read Philippians 4, 6 through 7.
Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
That word careful is an older usage of the word, which means anxious. How many times have we heard people talk about anxiety, being anxious, being worried? God says, no. Be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, every single thing, everything, let your request be made known unto God. Give it all to God. Let him help you through every little thing. Now, I hear people say sometimes, oh, I don't want to bother God with the little things. He wants you to. But then I hear other people say, yeah, I was in a hurry and I prayed for a parking space and God gave me one. That's praying for a little thing, isn't it? But it's okay to pray for the little things. He tells us to, he says everything, right? Pray about everything. Give everything to God. As Jeremiah said, it's not in man that walketh. We just don't know the way. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. So, God doesn't say the Lord helps those who help themselves. God says that we don't know the way, right? We'll look at one more on that, Proverbs 16. Brent, if you could read that. And I think it's verse 25. Forgot to write that one down, too. There is a way which seemeth right. Is that the one? So there's a way that seems right. That just seems like the right thing to do. It seems like the right way to go. There is a way that seemeth right. But the end thereof. In other words, doesn't matter what it seems like. Doesn't matter what it feels like. What matters is what God says. So don't trust yourself. Don't trust your power. Don't trust your strength. Don't trust your resources. Trust the Lord. And the Lord will help us. So nowhere does he say the Lord helps those who help themselves, although people say it all the time. Do they not? Probably one of the most common phrases said when it comes to accomplishing things for God and so forth. The Lord helps those who help themselves. Guess what? It's not in the Bible. It's just a saying someone's come up with along the way that sounds good until you start thinking about what it's really saying, and it isn't scriptural. God says, rely on him for everything. And look at the example of the two kings. The one king gets rescued from an army that way outnumbers them. It's so overwhelmingly unbalanced that they say, we don't know what to do. We're just going to have to just trust God. We're just going to have to pray. And God works a miracle and delivers them from this huge army. And then another army comes that's smaller, and instead of doing the same thing, which is saying, Lord, we need your help, he goes and hires mercenaries. And then God takes his throne away. Then you see this other king, again, being attacked, hires mercenaries. The prophet comes along and says, even though they're Jewish, God is not with these Ephraimites. So you don't need their help. Oh, but what about the 100 talents? What about the money I just spent? Send them home. Thankfully, he listened to the prophet, sent them home, and won the battle. And what the prophet said was, if you go ahead and use these mercenaries, you're going to lose the battle. So see, it had nothing to do with numbers. It had nothing to do with resources. It had to do with God. We can learn a lot from that, can't we? So the Lord does help us, hallelujah, every day. But he never says we're to do it in our own strength, in our own wisdom, in our own resources. We need to just lean on him, amen? God is our refuge and strength. Be still and know that I am God, and so forth. So thoughts or questions about this very common worldly philosophy that we hear? Yes, Tanya. Yes, God commands us to work and labor, no question about it. And I see what you're saying. They're using it in the context that if you're going to be lazy, God won't bless you. Yeah. Which is true. Yeah. This is
so
true.
It's sort of the opposite way of looking at it, I guess. So I guess that's how I've heard it. Well, I've not heard it used too often by people that I didn't know, but when I've heard it stated or used, maybe that's how they're perceiving that statement. Not
yeah, they're trying to make it biblical.
Or
And God commands us to work, and God does not bless laziness, no question. God rebukes idleness, doesn't he? All through Proverbs. So yes, we're commanded to labor, we're commanded to work, we're commanded to work for him, amen? Always abounding in the work of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Other thoughts or questions? Rachel.
Just the fool thing, you know, depends on what you're listening, it's what's really
Yeah, everything that we get from Hollywood says that, right? Trust the Force, Luke. Nobody's ever heard that phrase before, right? What's the Force? It's just a replacement for God, isn't it? Yes, Diane? Yep. Amen. We always have a choice. Like we saw last Sunday, there's always going to be tribulations. There's always going to be tests. That's part of the Christian life. That's part of the process of God refining us, of growing us, but also teaching us to rely on Him and to rely on His strength. That's why talked last Sunday about patient in tribulation. So we're going to have tribulations, but how we respond to them is up to us. We can say, no, I'm going to trust my resources, my strength, or, Lord, I can't do this without you. I need your resources and your strength. That's our choice, isn't it? How we respond. And we saw these two kings. One responded one way, one responded the other way. I'm going to trust my resources. The other one said, okay, I hear you, God. I'm going to get rid of that decision to trust these resources, and I'm going to trust you alone. And God bless that decision. Any other thoughts or questions before we close on this sixth worldly philosophy? The Lord helps those who help themselves.